in Instagram, I asked them, I was like, if you guys have something to ask someone who went to nursing school on their 40s, what is it? The biggest question was, why? And they put it all in capital. W-H-Y. Why? Why at 45? I beg your pardon. Hello, my favorite people. It's your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated bestie. It's Nurse John. And welcome back to your favorite podcast, I Beg Your Pardon. And how are you doing today, bestie? I miss you so much. We have another week of therapy session, another week of episode. I hope you're doing well in your job. If things are not going well, bestie, we gotta reevaluate. We gotta step back a bit, assess, and make sure that if you're not happy where you are in life, in your job, we gotta leave it. There's no question. There's no nothing. It's all about yourself. Self-care, self-love over everything else. Life is going well. I am happy to be here because I have a very special guest who is also close to me because I used to work with her before. Welcome everyone, my favorite person, Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, John. Great to see you.
Great to see you. How's everything?
Wonderful. Actually, really good. Thanks.
Really good in life. Mm-hmm. And well, before we continue introducing Amanda, if you're listening to this right now, do me a quick favor. Please download this episode and all other episodes. Make sure you follow us and turn on notification on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And please, after listening to this episode, make sure you take a screenshot of it. Tag me on Instagram so that I can repost it. And make sure you leave us a 5-star so that we and everybody else can see this podcast and they can listen to it and they see every single story that we share every single week. Okay, going back to Amanda. Amanda.
Yes, John.
Other than being well and doing fine, can you tell us more about you? Introduce yourself to us.
My name is Amanda. I am currently a nurse. I have a family of 3 kids and a husband. And I am a latecomer to the career, and I am still educating myself as well. So, and I'm 52, turning 53.
What were you doing before becoming a nurse?
So the backstory is this. I originally come from out west, and I was working as a kind of area manager, or I ran stores and had a background in kind of business. And then I decided I would follow, well, the path of doing something different with my life. My kids were getting older, and I was able to, and it came at a time when I moved as well. So it was kind of a forced break in that career.
Right.
And then, you know, you do a little reevaluation. You're in a new place. We moved to Quebec, which was different.
Right.
So then I changed careers.
It's around business, right? If you don't mind, what kind of job was it that you are in business?
It was actually a sports company that I used to work for. And
right.
I would then organize events as well. So, you know, in this particular case, you know, they could have anywhere from like hundreds to thousands and tens of thousands of people that I would be also responsible for different things as well. So, you know, it was managing people. And looking at the bottom line and
that's crazy.
You know,
that's
making sure that money was in the drawer. So that was kind of my background.
Exactly. And you also mentioned that you have 3 kids.
I do. And I always call them kids. But the realities are is they are 30 and 24 and 22. So
oh, my God. So they're
done. I'm done. You know, like I don't want to admit that. I was saying, you know, I'm even empty nested at this point. So,
right.
You know, now my dogs have become my surrogate babies. You know how you do it. So
that is so funny. And when you were in your 20s, do you have any other jobs or any profession? Were you in school? What were you doing when you had them?
So, yeah, this is, you know, they always say that people have 3 careers, right? And
right.
And so my first career was really, I was a hairstylist when I was young in my 18s and all that kind of stuff and makeup artist. So I had all my fun and zany time then.
Right.
And then, you know, developed this kind of move into business. And then at the same time, when they were young, I actually did go to university as well, but I focused on history and English. So that was my first opportunity to get my university education. So I love learning, but I also, really embraced, expanding who I am. So all through that kind of time, I would always kind of, challenge myself. And this was one of the areas I did.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I didn't even know about that. Did I had you as a student when you were, I feel like you guys went to do clinicals. You had clinicals in my unit at some point, mm-hmm. and then you applied to that unit after, right?
Yes, I did. And I was an extern on that unit as well.
Extern? So yes, that too.
I was there for that as well, which was really a great learning experience as well as a nurse. To see where you want to land and after you finish. And yeah, I was an extern as well there. So, and also I had met you through schooling experiences as well. You were
that
such
is so true.
A great support. Like I will say, I want to just introduce people that, really who you are on this podcast is really who you are in real life. You're such a generous person and
you're
so helpful. And in school or environments, or if I needed any help when I was finishing, you would say to me, oh, I suggest this and I've got this material. Do you want me to help you with this? So he really is that nice.
She's being so sweet. But Amanda's always sweet anyways. So yeah, that's where we met. A few weeks ago, I was asking people about if you're ever a nurse who's in their 40s and would want to be a guest in my studio to share your story, she DM'd me and all of our memories just came back to me and it was nostalgia because it wasn't so long time ago since we were working together. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my God, why didn't I thought about Amanda? Because she is the perfect description of someone who pursued nursing in their middle age. I was like, she mm-hmm. has the best story that everyone can listen to. So I was like, yes. And I'm so happy, though, that you accepted my invitation. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
Was,
thank
that
you.
Was a kind of, I kind of threw it out there because I know that we're familiar with each other, but also I'd love to share with people that it's never too late and to take the opportunities and risks. And I have come so much further ahead in my growth as an individual, as a person, by just taking that risk. There's no losses in that. And I think that, and even if there's, you didn't like it or you weren't successful at it, you just change gears, you look for something else. And I've been very fortunate that I pursued something that I really had a passion for. But I've loved all of my journeys, all of my careers, to be honest with you. And this one, I'm just, I love nursing. I've always wanted to be a nurse since I was a little girl. And so, life wasn't quite working in the ways that would give me the opportunity.
Like how you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like you probably wanted to be a nurse when you were 18, but
absolutely.
Life happens. And I think that's totally fine. Again, what I tell people and what I tell myself that, listen, your shining moment will come. Your path is different from somebody else, so you cannot compare it.
And it's never too late. I think in my particular case, and I have to say that my generation was probably, they were more concerned about me making a change, right? And it was interesting watching the responses around me because kind of the seniors or the olders were saying, yeah, just go for it. And then the younger, my kids, I had to go to them and say to them, listen, I'm looking to do this. What do you guys think?
Right. Were they mom, you're crazy?
No, they were just go for it. They were
my God.
And I know that you probably met her, my little Anna, which I say little, but she's 22. But she was starting in the same college that I would have started with her. And so I had to ask her permission respectfully and say, honey, I've had this opportunity to go at the same time you're there. I don't want to crowd you or, take up your space or time. Is it okay if I go to the school at the same time you're there?
You are so sweet.
And so she just was like
Mom.
Awesome. And so, we would have lunches and actually she'd usually crowd me with my people. But it was just, it was such a really enriching time. I didn't know that I would enjoy Even having that extra time with her when she's a young adult, right?
That is so sweet. She must be so happy.
Yeah, she's been so encouraging. And I say to people that I needed to wait to do this so that my mm-hmm. kids could be my tutors, because my son is a biologist. So then when I was doing a lot of stuff and I couldn't, you know, if there was a concept I was having a difficult time with, I'd say to him, like, can you help explain this to me? And he'd go, no problem. He'd completely map it out for me and explain all of these things, or the chemistry of something. So I was like, this is the best way to get a tutor for free. And my eldest daughter, she has she's an academic and she teaches in a university. So I'd say, am I doing the APA form together properly so I could send her things? I can still do it. And she'd be like, yes, mom, but you need to clean up this and that. So I think that, you know, it's been, their support has been out of this world, but it's also brought me closer to them and kept me young as well.
Right. Have you had like any points in your life where you're like, I wish I didn't had kids now and I could have done this?
I'll be really honest. No, I love being a mom. And you know this about me, and I kind of have this side of me that's kind of mothering anyway.
Oh, yes, yes.
And so, and I mean, even in school, the young people called me mom and stuff.
Oh, so
they
sweet.
Were so awesome. But I will say that, I really just felt to roll with it. I think that's
right.
Part of it is we have to, I think the fear comes with people too, is that they think that they're kind of fit in this box of time. So I can't mm-hmm. take on a new challenge because I'm in the child rearing phase, or I'm in this phase. And, you know, there's no timing that isn't perfect, you know, you just
right.
do it and you fit in. Same with like trying to do studies. We laugh about it, but you fit it in. The kids go to bed, you do your homework. I will say though, going to school at 45 and,
wow.
That was a big, you know, my inspiration came from my grandmother. People had started to say to me, like, what do you think? Why? You
know? Right. I think that's the biggest question, because in Instagram, I asked them, I was like, if you guys have something to ask someone who went to nursing school on their 40s, what is it? And I'm telling you right now, the biggest question was why? And they put it all in capital. W-H-Y. Why? Why at 45?
Well, I think everybody's got their own reasons, but mine were, my kids were getting older and I could see that my life was getting to a place where I can reinvent myself, or I could reinvent myself. And, you know, I did that whole thing about examining, is this what I want to do for the next, you know, 40 years? And so my hero is my grandma on my mom's side.
Right.
And, you know, she came from a generation where there was a first generation of leaving, you know, marriages, and after they had kids and stuff. My grandmother divorced she was 50. And after 6 kids, they were all grown, you know, the whole 9 yards.
Right.
And she learned how to drive. She'd never driven in her life.
That's crazy.
She went back to school and got her GED. And then back then, they couldn't go to university because they had an age limit, but she did go to college. And so she did this all at 50. And
wow.
I just, you know, she just amazed me as a personality, that she just invented herself, you know. And I kind of looked at my husband. I said, listen, I'm at 45. My grandma lived till she's 93. So that means I'm only halfway there. What am I going to do for the rest of this lifetime?
Right.
You know, so I think that's part of it as well. You know, you just I felt like I had more.
You have to do something.
Yeah. Well, and that's how I feel about education. That's how I feel about nursing as well, is that you can never learn everything.
Oh,
in
yeah.
nursing. I
Absolutely.
Love that for the career itself, is that you can always look for more information and enhance what you have as knowledge. So like even, you know, in changing where I worked for to a different area, you know, it was, again, I felt like I knew nothing until I got there and spent about 3 or 4 months. But it was so great to learn again. So
right. Again, like people who's asking why, is I think it's because of like they're scared to take new challenges yeah. in their life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's something that you should be fearful more over, not doing something that's risky.
I would ask a question back, and a simple one is, why not?
Right. Why not? And I always believe that, you know, like, you have one life.
Mm.
Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So why not do something that you actually, you want to bungee jump? Bungee jump. You want to skydive? Oh my God, there was this video in the internet of a 97-year-old lady who did skydiving. She's 97.
Love it.
She had an amazing time, but 2 days after, she died. But you know what? She did what she wanted to do probably in her whole life.
Absolutely.
To skydive. That gave me more like encouragement and to just see life as, you gotta do it. If
yeah.
you want to, don't yeah. hesitate it.
Mm-hmm. And you've got it in you. Like, you know, that's the thing, is that going back to school was really intimidating. And
the
most intimidating thing for me was, am I going to stand out? And am I going to be kind of alone in this?
Right.
And I have to say, you know, your generation and younger is amazing at their ability to just accept and embrace people. And, you know, the struggles came from the people that were more my generation. And, you know, in my class, there was no one my age. I'm always the oldest, and that's okay.
Right.
But, you know, so the professors, I've had it, you know, where people would walk up and assume I was the professor in stage or something, and I'd have to point, you know, it's actually her. But in that, I loved the fact that everybody said, Amanda, we're studying tonight. Come on. And I remember having a cocktail party at the end of the first year and having everybody come to my house because I lived close to the college.
That is so sweet.
In our class. And we had so much fun, like, you know, and they were, and it wasn't like having my kids there. It was like having my peers there.
Right.
You know, because we were all suffering together through nursing school, you know.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Yeah. It was just, you know, I think that's the other part of this is, don't worry. You won't be excluded. You're going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's part of the fear of going into this at this age is that, you know, you're going to be standing alone. And I never for a moment felt that. I never for a moment felt like I was not part of the entire group. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity to allow yourself to become something new again, you know, and the age doesn't matter.
Exactly. And also, I think it comes from confidence.
Mm.
How you see yourself, how you perceive yourself, how much you trust yourself that you can do this. Because I think, like, if you don't have the confidence to do something that you really want, no matter if you try it, but if you doubt yourself for a second, it will never work out. That's how I see things.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to just take the risk.
Right.
And you have to be willing to fail.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. And that's what worries me more too, is because, like, I want to go back to school.
Mm.
But one thing I hate is, like, going back to study. I'm like the opposite of you. So I went to college and then university and then took some time off.
Yeah.
And now I'm scared to go back because I feel like I don't have the same motivation, the same, like, energy to study again. But what you're saying is that you have to do it. You just have to do it. You just have to try it. Because I think what I'm going to regret more is, in the long run, when I'm 40, 50, I could have done it when I was 28.
Exactly.
I doubted myself. I did not push myself. I didn't do it. So now I'm regretting it more.
Yeah, you'll regret what you didn't do a lot more than what you did do. Even myself, like, I wasn't planning on going to finish my bachelor's. Then, I, you know, after I graduated, I worked for a year, and then I thought, maybe. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in my second year and almost, you know, I'm in the last legs of it. So I did do it anyways. So,
and so you're still in school?
Yeah, I am.
Oh my God, Amanda.
I know.
It's not I know. Praise. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to kneel down and, like, amen. And I think that's one thing I did. One of the big part when I got burnout is because I was working full time and then I was full time in school. So it was a lot of, like, mental challenges and physical challenges. And I know you told me already that you're full time working and full time studying.
Yeah.
Which, again, if I'm 28, I was 24 when I was doing my bachelor's.
Yeah.
You're in your 50s.
Yeah.
My mind is just blown on how much like compassion, energy, and like likeness you have for studying and continuing. It's so hard to juggle all of those things. So for me, it's like hands down. I was like, it must be the most challenging thing to do it. But then you guys are doing it with so much compassion, so much like, you know, love for the profession and being a parent when you get home.
I will say probably 30 years of parenting has kind of, you know, helped me get prepared for all of this as well and made it so that it was possible for me to understand how to organize my time.
Has it ever affected your relationship with your husband and your kids?
I was in a different position because I think it helped actually in some ways for me to go, I can't do this. Who's going to? You know,
right.
So, and my kids were older and my husband, you know, is very supportive, but I'd also, you know, I was the mom for all those years and doing all the organizations and routines and everything like that. So yeah, there was times where, you know, even my husband would say, we're going to put up the Christmas tree this weekend. I'd say, I can't, I'm studying. He'd go, yeah, I know. And I'd say, fair.
That's amazing.
You know, so, and that was good because he kind of adopted some of my role that I'd had
right.
all those years, and he pitched in and he's been able to do that. But my eldest daughter was here for a conference actually just this last week and stayed with me, and she said she had taken her siblings out. They had gone out and they were talking about me, and you know, there was some occasional rumblings about how busy I am, and my eldest said, you know, I had to say mom is human, and they were like, that's
aww,
true, you know,
that's
so
right.
there's that as well, and they start to really learn that you are not just an extension of them, and
right.
you have your own,
like, you're not just a mom, you're Amanda,
yeah.
you're a nurse, you're a nursing student, you
mm-hmm.
are so much more than a mom. I think like older nursing students should be more proud because, man, you probably top some of the younger students with like grades and everything, and to think, like, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes you super proud because one of my best friends who I went through nursing school, she's a mom of two girls
mm-hmm.
and she's our valedictorian.
Mm-hmm.
Valedictorian. She pulled me through the whole nursing program.
Yeah.
She mothered me in nursing school. I don't know what superpower she has, but you guys have some kind of superpower to pull through this, and it inspires me. It inspires like younger people.
Absolutely. And it's way more stressful to be part of this generation or the kids that are involved in, and I say kids being young adults, there's a lot of pressure. I feel for everyone that's in this generation that is trying to meet these expectations. And we didn't have this pressure. We did not. And if your parents say they did, they lie. Because, you know, we just were told to get a job and get out there. But you guys are supposed to all become like amazing everythings, you know,
right.
the perfectionism that's put on the young people nowadays and that you put on yourself
right.
Is really something that I did not experience as a youth. We didn't have that. So I really do think that it's harder and more stressful for your generations.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Because I think also a lot of nurses from before, like senior nurses, don't understand and question younger nurses. They're like, oh, you're only 2 year into the profession, or 3 year or 4 year or 6 months. Why are you already burnt out? But they don't understand that the struggle that they've had in their nursing career in 1995, 1980s, 1970s is not the same struggle that younger nurses have now. And mm-hmm. What I was saying before is that there are so many things that was normalized in the nursing profession. And now it's so normalized that you should take overtime. You should feel bad for calling in sick. It's okay that you're guilt tripped by your manager to stay for 4 more hours, 6 more hours. You should be able to handle 6, 8 patients, 20 patients. Like, all of this are not normal.
No.
But it was normalized because we didn't do something about it before. And now younger nurses are experiencing it and they're having a hard time with it because it's not normal. And we're more
yeah.
aware of it, and we complain about it, and we leave the job if it's toxic, we leave the job if it's not healthy. But then they suck it up. I mean, I'm not generalizing every single seasoned nurses, but they were okay with it.
Yeah, and I think it's so necessary for people to understand the stresses and the changes that have happened. And I mean, we saw it, we came in at such a crazy time with the pandemic and things too, and the stretch, how much people were stretched to such an extreme, but it hasn't repaired itself in many ways. And that's the, you know, I think that, you know, I don't want to get into a big debate about this, but, you know, we sometimes couldn't get back what we gave. You know, we said, this is an exception. We'll do this as an exception for this time.
But then they take that exception as a, so you can do it.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So then you are able to do more than you could.
Yeah, exactly. And it is hard to put a boundary to it. And I think that, you know, I will say that from my generation, from me being the age that I am firmer in saying, no, that's not okay. And the young people have to be careful because, you know, they're feeling pressured. And then it's from individuals that may be older or different things like that. So then they're feeling like they can't say no. And they're new to the profession. So they feel as if, well, maybe, like you say, the others are doing it. They're probably not. It's just that they happen to get you that day and they're trying to put pressure to have you do
right.
it. And the mental health part of this is phenomenal. And it is not the same profession that it was. And there is so many dynamics that have changed over time within the profession over the many years. Because even when you speak to about expectation of what our role is, you know, we're working with strength-based nursing now. We are not working with the 1990s version.
Right. This
of
is
nursing.
Not like Florence Nightingale's like.
Yeah, no. And they had a role and they'd say, I'll do this, 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 and this. And then they'd, you know, go back to the nurse's station if there's anything else to be done that's not my job. And I think that, you know, now we look into so much more and we are really a hub of the wheel in hospital settings is that, you know, oh, so-and-so came by and this came by and that came by and we're communicating between them and making sure that, you know, groups know that this had happened. And,
right.
you know, the patient saying things to you and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to have to share this now, but you didn't share it 5 minutes ago with the doctor because, you know, they're intimidated or they don't see that as, you know,
right.
something they
or
can say.
Or this thing should have been given to you by your doctor or your resident or whoever the professional is. Mm. But now I'm carrying this other job when I have 17 different jobs that I have to prioritize. But then this is also a priority. But at the same time, like, how do we juggle all of these things all together? And I think, like, the advantage of, like, you coming into the profession at this age is that, like you said, you have a very strong boundary.
You know
when to say no. Because I can speak for the younger generation or for some people that, yes, there is that guilt to refuse things because we feel like we have to prove ourselves. We have to be a certain type of nurse for them to accept us for who we are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're a bad nurse. Otherwise, you're neglectful. Otherwise, you're not a team leader. Otherwise, you're not like, you don't like teamwork. Like all of these things. But then again, like I think as you grow old, as I grow old to the profession, as I grow old as a human being, I learn how to say no. I learn how to put boundaries. I learn from the mistakes I have done when I was 22 and I was just starting as a nurse.
Yeah, and I don't have the anxiety about whether you care or I like if they like me or not. And I will say that
yes.
that comes with that too. Like the younger you are, the more pressure you feel to make people
like you. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not to say that I'm impolite to people or anything. It's just that I don't take things personally if somebody is, you know, curt with me or, you know, I'm going to tell you what I know. This is what our interaction's going to be. And then you're going to leave my nurse's area station and we're going to carry on with my day. And I'm going to just deal with my patient and that's it.
Right.
So I think that I'm not ruminating on, oh my goodness, would this said, did I say this right? Did I not say this right? Did I, you know, so, and that's why I say, like, for younger people, the pressure is much greater now.
Yes, because I think a lot of us are people pleasing. And again, nursing is, I think, is a people pleasing job too. You have to make sure that your patients are satisfied. You have to make sure that the people you're working with are okay with you. Otherwise, you wouldn't get help. You have to make sure that they see you as a good, like, all of these things, I think, is worse for younger generation because we have that pressure. But then for the seasoned nurse, I can tell you right now, there are, we've worked with seasoned nurses and they do their job and they leave the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of us younger nurses, we take the job at home because we're unable to keep, like, to put that boundaries, to put our emotions, like, this emotion will be left out here and I will pick it up when I come back here. But that's not going to come to me at home.
Yeah.
And I am guilty of that. It happened to me that I have to take that. But then again, I've learned from that mistake. And again, I think it's the growing up, the adulting part.
Yeah, and maturity in not like that they're immature, but just that you become more confident in yourself.
Right.
Right. And so I think that I got all the benefits of coming into the career and having this kind of level of confidence. And so I can just really enjoy it. Like, I love being at the hospital setting and nursing and interacting with my patients. Because I know that I'm going to go home and I'm okay with tabling whatever my day was.
Right.
And it is more difficult for others, but I have an advantage that the younger nurses, which is me, but I don't look like it.
So, oh, stop. You look young. No.
But what happens is that people assume I've been a long-term nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
they treat you differently.
They treat me differently. That's awesome.
That's another thing too, I think. Another advantage of coming into the profession when you're older is that they would think that you have like 30, 45 years of experience in your bag.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's so great because there is something to be said for walking into the room and going, oh, hi, I'm, you know, Amanda, I'm your nurse today, blah, 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 blah. And they're just like, a calm washes over them because they see an age that they think or assume has been doing this forever, especially with family members, right?
Because I have been questioned like once. They're like, are you old enough to be doing this job? And I'm like, yes, sir. I'm like 28. I have been a nurse for a while. So yes, I have been old enough to be doing this job.
Yeah. So if anybody's thinking about changing, it's awesome for that. We get an advantage is that people don't, you know, we know our stuff, but they don't question us the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we are newer nurses.
Right.
Because they just assume we've been doing this for a while and we walk in with the confidence. And but you know, there's an advantage certainly as to why you would do it now.
Right,
you
know, absolutely.
Do it in your older age because I'm going to tell you, it'll be that much easier for you to garner respect in your profession.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is a really great thing to do for that reason too.
I think the only con of that is that you probably don't know what the hell they're talking about, but you're like,
sure. Well, and I think part of being my age too is I put my hand up and go, I don't know. Like I will totally say, like,
again, you have this confidence to yourself, you have this boundary, and you know your limits.
Yeah. And I will tell people how long I've been nursing, like if they ask me directly.
Right.
But I won't go out of my way to do it just because it's not part of our dialogue and our, you know, clinical relationship, too. I'm here to just, you know, do my job that day. And if it's important that they ask me, that's fine. But, you know, if I don't know the answer, I'm also confident enough to go and say, I'll find someone that has one for you because I don't know. And I don't feel bad about not knowing the answer either because I can't know everything. But it's a profession that has a lot of strong personalities.
Right.
You know,
honestly,
like this is not for the weak of heart sometimes.
It for real.
Yeah.
In the strongest possible way, this is not for the weak of the heart. And I keep telling people, I was like, if you put down an ER nurse, a med surg, a psychiatric, a CCU nurse in one room, there's going to be a drama. I'm telling you, I was like, they cannot all just sit there and like each other. I was like, this is like navigating to 27 different personality and you have to like every single one of them so that you guys can have a good shift together.
Yeah, and you have to work it out. And the thing is like, I remember in school, and it was in my first year, you'll remember the class, but they were introducing this topic of bullying in the workplace. And I was thinking at the time, coming from like outside of this, I was thinking they were talking about like patients and, you know, or something with other colleagues outside of the profession and things like that. Nope. This was all about nurse-on-nurse bullying,
mm-hmm.
and how to navigate a conversation and how to, you know, identify how to, you know, declare your position, create a boundary and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. wow, I just did not see that coming.
Right.
I really didn't know that that was such a prevalent thing.
Oh, yeah. It's so big, and a lot of nurses have experienced it, but they have not talked about it because they're scared or they don't have that confidence to really put a boundary or like let it out. So they just get eaten every day and they have they're stuck. They're like in jail of it. Have you ever experienced bullying as a new nurse?
Yes, for sure. This person said something that, you know, in an environment that was with a patient and stuff, and it was out of line, like the way it was almost accusatory. That's not uncommon. But it was just, you know, I took it as an offense. And so I know I went quiet at the moment. I didn't answer the individual. They left the room. They were in the hallway later. And I said, I'd like a moment to talk to you. And the person went like, oh. I said, I think we need to discuss what had happened. And I didn't like the way you phrased that in front of the patient, because it was discrediting. And I said, is there a reason why you phrased it that way? And the individual kind of started backing up. And maybe, you know, sometimes we're unaware when we say things.
Right.
And the person said, I'm sorry, you know, and I said, no, I just wanted to clear the air so that, because we have to work together. And I want to be able to do that and to do it, you know, openly without this kind of contact, you know, this tension. And it was done. We, from that point forward, we never had conflict. I think that there, you know, so it just depends. I think private moments have the confidence to say it. There are individuals that are going to probably still not like you, and that's okay too. They determined that before they met you. There was an individual that was speaking and said that 10% of people that meet you will not like you no matter what you do.
Exactly.
And so you have to also be okay with that.
Right. You just have to be okay that you're not everybody's cup of tea.
Mm-mm.
And that's totally fine.
Yeah. Well, and you just have to take the 90% that do like you and just embrace that.
Right.
You know?
But I think the hard part is if that 5% or that 10% is doing their best to bring you down and to pull you down into hell.
Yeah.
And I think that's the worst. And again, like how you handle that situation is very mature, very like it. You sound like my mom when
well, I'm about your mom's age. But yeah.
You sound like my mom when she's like getting serious about things. And again, I think that's something that we younger generation have not developed, or like fear, but have a hard time really embodying, like having that boundaries or being able to just speak to someone and tell someone, I'm sorry, but I didn't like how you speak to me. I didn't like how you treated me in there. That ability to do that, we don't have that. So I think that's one of the reasons why we burn out so fast, so young. But again, that's just part of it. There's so many more other reasons why younger generation burn out. But like I've seen in many of my videos where like I was very openly talking about like burnout. Again, I have had like older nurses tell me, but they're like, oh my God, you could have just left the profession. You have that choice. You are so young. And like whenever they say that, for me, it's just like, oh my God, you have no understanding of how hard it is to feel pressured, to feel like it's your responsibility, to feel like all of these things,
mm-hmm.
because that's how younger generation are made to feel like.
Well, and why should you have to leave a profession you love because of bullies? You know, right. This is the thing too, is why let them win, you mm-hmm. know? And so I will say that, you know, it's not to say that it happens all the time. It's just really important to right. have you learn how to be self-assertive, how to address it. And you know, I guess maybe from my perspective, it's understand that it probably isn't as personal as what we take it.
Right.
It's just that individual probably does it to a lot of people. And that's right. a character flaw.
Right. And I think, like, as you were talking about it, it's not personal to you. I think that's one thing that a lot of, like, younger generation to struggle. It's taking everything personal. I think I don't want to say this, but it's the truth that we're a bit more too sensitive with a lot of things these days. And which is fine, because then you're able to recognize your limits. You're able to recognize what you don't like. But, you know, sometimes we go to the extreme of, like, nothing sits right to you.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The thing is, like, that's life. Like, you cannot make sure that every single one of your coworker loves you. But that's not your goal. You're not here to make sure everyone is happy and satisfied that you're here. That you're doing yeah. what they like you to do. And you get mad that they don't like you.
Yeah, and I think that is a generational thing, because for me, in my mind, you know, I don't like something at work. I go, it's okay, I just work here. And it's just
I love that.
You know what I mean? Like it's okay. I don't make all the decisions. I don't have to like every moment. But this is not where my life is. My life is when I leave this place and I walk through the doors of my home and my family. That's where my life is.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right? So, you know,
period.
That will make people, I think that will help to alleviate some of that pressure mm-hmm. for people, is that, you know, you work there.
Right.
You know,
you go there to okay. work, leave it to work. Mm-hmm. And that's not your whole personality.
No. And you didn't choose to be amongst that. It's no different from my kids when they were younger in high school and they're looking at the friendships they had in high school. And I said, listen, you guys are just in an institution that's put you together. You're not,
right.
you didn't choose to all be friends, and you're not going to all get along. When you leave there, the people that you still have as friendships are the ones that are your real friends.
True.
And so, you know, and it's the same with work. There's certain people you'll still have interactions with outside of work. And why? Because they're your friends.
They're the people that you can trust and you
yeah.
can call friends.
Yeah, and that's okay. And you don't have to be friends with everybody at work. You just have to be polite, respectful, and good colleagues, you know?
That's amazing. Honestly, I feel like everyone listening right now are learning so many things. And like those people in their middle age who's probably thinking, this is your sign to just do it. This is your sign. Amanda gave you guys a sign that
go for it.
Yeah, you just gotta go for it. If you can give something for someone who wanted to go to nursing but are scared to do it, what is that something that you want to tell them?
If it's a passion, you will make the way to do it. And you will have so much more from having done it than having regret of not doing it. It is a great profession. I love it. If it's something that you really have a passion for, you will find a way and you will be thankful. And it's only a couple of years. Years are going to pass. Like, and I said that to someone recently, was that time is going to pass whether you do something or not.
Right.
Like, so you might as well try.
You might as well do something with it.
Yeah.
Because you'll regret it. You'll be like, yeah. Oh my God, I should have done that when I was 46 or 47.
Yeah.
And now you're 52 and now you're still regretting something that you could have done when you were 46
yeah,
or 47.
And you'll have to do crazy things. Like I had to take high school chemistry again.
Oh my God.
It was outside of 5 years. So to be able to even apply. So I had to go to this like fantastic little like fringy high school with all these little
adult
kids.
School?
Yes.
Yes.
And I had to do my chemistry again. And you know what? It was fun. Like there's such great experiences. And every time you do a new thing, you get to say, I accomplished that. I accomplished that. I accomplished that. So,
right.
You know, why not?
It's the same thing as like people who travel everywhere in the world. Mm. You could tell yourself, I did nursing. I did chemistry when I was 50. I did this. I hosted a house party at 51 excuse me, the last time I did that was when I was 20. Like, it's such a great feeling to just be able to say that to someone or to tell that to yourself that, oh my God, I did all of these things because I wasn't scared enough. Like, I wasn't scared to just, you know, do it.
Well, and there's, and the limitation is really your own mind. And even you said something before about your body getting older, and we talk about, you know, the aches and pains and all the rest. And, you know, I have my own and I take a pill and carry on. Like, you know, you just, okay, my back hurts. I take a Tylenol and I go to work. You know, like, you just, it is going to have to be that you just pick yourself up, dust yourself off and go. And I think that, my mind is younger because I have done this. It's because I've been hanging out with young people. It's because I've continued to learn. I am not young in like a physical sense. I'm the age that I am. I'm 52 and I certainly am a fluffier version of me than I was when I was younger and all the rest. But my mind is young and I really enjoy that.
And I think that's the most important part, keeping your mind young. Every single year, you get younger and younger of generation of, you know, patience. Mm. And the only way you can relate to these people is if you experience it yourself. And you are experiencing it by hanging out with this younger generation. And us younger generation are learning from you guys to set boundaries, to how to deal with the situation, to not give an F about like situation that doesn't really matter, that small things doesn't really matter. And at the end of the day, this is just your job.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'm learning things from you and I can take this away and I can teach someone who's younger than me because of you. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's nice. It's like a, you know, it's like a positive thing, like back and forth positive thing.
Yeah. And I love being around young people because I love your sense of hope and wonder. And I do think it's kept, you know, me young, but it's also kept me attuned to my kids. You know, like I know things because I'm also around young people.
Right. Right. Oh, that is so amazing. Well, Amanda, like we could talk forever in here. There's so much things to talk about and there's so much like life experiences that you could share, not only to the younger people who's listening to this right now, but for people who aspires to be a nurse in their middle age. Mm-hmm. And you know, the purpose of me making this episode is because I feel like you're that icon that people
sweet.
That have to look up to, and you know, just do what you want to do in life, because life is too short to regret anything that you haven't done. And anyways, you're going to regret it if you don't do it.
Yeah. And like all the whys, it's my question to you is why not?
Right. Why not? If you keep questioning yourself, why should I do this? Why not should you do this?
Give me these answers. Why would you not do it?
Oh my God. Amazing. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And I'm so, so happy. Thank you so much, Amanda, for sitting down with me here. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. And again, I know that hundreds and thousands of people are going to be inspired with this story that you just shared to us. And I know those people who's questioning their life right now, if they should do that one thing they have been thinking of doing, this is it. This is your sign. Amanda is your sign. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, this weekly episode. And please do me a favor, download this episode and the past episode. Make sure you follow us and turn on notification on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And make sure you leave us a 5-star and share your screenshot of your podcast after listening to it so that I can repost it. I love you guys so much. We will see you next week. Mwah. Bye. Bye.